just for Klal Yisrael, but for our extended family here in Yeshiva. Everyone who's close to the Tversky and Soloveitchik families, as well as Rabbi Aryeh Kapinsky, who's with me in Harambee Avlin. And it's noteworthy the sugya that we happen to be in the middle of. The Nifter this morning, Rabbi Moshe Tversky, his grandfather, Soloveitchik, wrote in Halachic Mind that when his own grandfather, Chaim Brisker, was seized with fear about death, and because his framework was the halacha, so he would address that fear by studying the sugyas of death, Soloveitchik mentioned specifically olos, and that would be a way to make it more approachable for him. And happens to be that the sugya that we're involved with today, the sugya that we're continuing from yesterday, specifically the sugya of Kavod HaMeis in our parak, the idea of Mevatlin Torah for Hotzas HaMeis. So in our context, it's not appropriate for us to be Mevatlin Torah, but we have the opportunity to fulfill the concept of Kavod HaMeis through the Talmud Torah of this sugya. We heard the announcement this morning that there'll be a Tehillim of the Beis Medrash following the 2:30 Mincha. I think there's an effort to try to delay classes afterwards so that the schedule will accommodate. So hopefully we'll all be together then. And between now and then, our learning, particularly of the sugya, which is all about how we value Kavod HaMeis and how we're meant to respond at such times, should be a schus for the neshamas of all of those who were lost, and should be a schus for the refuah shleima of those who are still struggling to recover. We started to mention yesterday that we have a halacha over here on our daf, on daf yizayin, that we are mevatel Torah for two things: mevatel Torah for hotzas hameis, and also for hachnasas kala. So we wanted to try to understand each din within itself a little bit, and to try to figure out what we're meant to learn from one to the other, because the Gemara both groups the two together, hachnasas kala, our primary interest here, but then goes on to contrast them and to say that in a conflict between the two, hachnasas kala would take priority. So first, to focus for a moment on the concept and a little bit of the practice of hotzas hameis. So here we have, as far as we can tell, midina de Gemara, sounds like an obligation of Mevatlin Talmud Torah. It seems to be that this is true not only about the people in Yeshiva, not just the Ein Ben Chora and Misha Osef B'Torah, but the Gemara says elsewhere, and the Shulchan Aruch brings as well, that also people who are working. If you have a store, you should close a store, you should stop business, you should go and be Malava Sameis. So nowadays, we don't really find that that's what happens absolutely. Again, today's news is probably an exception to that. Tens of thousands in Yerushalayim, but in a general sense, when you have a Levaya, so you don't find that the Beis Medrash is locked up and nobody's allowed in and all the stores are closed. So why is that? So is this not a Chiyuv? So you saw a little bit that the Rishonim weren't so sure it was a Chiyuv, right? So you saw in the Rush and others that it's a machlokas whether or not this is actually a obligation, or possibly it might be a rishus. You might think, I have a chiyuv Talmud Torah, I'm not allowed to interrupt in order to go to a levaya, in order to go to the chasana, so maybe the chiddush of the Gemara is that it's a rishus. But it doesn't seem like that's the psak, it doesn't seem like that's the majority view in the Rishonim. So we have to figure that out, we'll come back to that in a second. But before you get to that, so many of the Achronim raise the question that what is the Chiddush? Right? Why is this not so much of a Chiddush? The idea of Mevatlin Talmud Torah for a mitzvah like Hotzas HaMeis, like Achnasas Kala, why is that not so much of a Chiddush? Kosik Mitzvah Pater Min other mitzvahs, right? The normal rule is also Mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah. You would think that would be a Chiddush then to say that you should stop learning for this. Except that the normal rule, the Gemara says in Moikadin, is that we aren't Mevatel Torah, we are Mevatel Torah for mitzvos, unless it's a mitzvah she'ef shalasos al yidei acher. That if other people could do it, so then you're not mevatel, but otherwise you are. In general, we don't say osik b'torah patur min ha-mitzvah. Of course, that's surprising a little bit. We could talk about why that is, and we'll focus on it now. One might think that if Talmud Torah is the most valuable of all mitzvot, so then all the more so you wouldn't stop it for other mitzvot. Many reasons suggested why that is. Among them, the reality that Talmud Torah is an infinite pursuit. So if we're going to have a policy that we're never going to do other mitzvot because we're involved in learning, so then all other mitzvot are not going to get fulfilled. And that would seem to be against the spirit of Talmud Torah. So that might be one reason why it is. Palatani and others discuss along those lines. But whatever the reason is, so normally we're not mevatel Torah we are mevatel Torah for other mitzvot. So the question is, so what's the chiddush? So why is the Gemara here telling us a new din that for these mitzvos, you're mevatel Torah? So what possible answers could you give? How could you possibly address this? What's the chiddush? If you're mevatel Torah for every mitzvah, so why do you need to be told that for this mitzvah as well?
It could be a component that, even though you think it could be taken care of by other people, you yourself add something to it that couldn't have been accomplished by other people.
Okay, so that could be part of it, right? It could be that normally, if the rule is that you're not pater, so here you have to be told that it's not really efshalasos saideh acherim. Now, why is it not really efshalasos saideh acherim?
Step in for you and add what you would have added.
Oh, so one possibility, we'll come back to this, is maybe you're unique, and your unique presence is simply not something that someone else can replace. And we'll come back to that point. But even without going into your unique attributes, it would also seem that there is an inyan to have as many people as possible. And therefore, it doesn't really fit to say, well, they have others doing it because they need the others and you. Well, Chana Wasserman comments about this in the Kodesh Shiurim, that here you might have a distinction that you might think, okay, there's a certain amount, whatever it is, that's enough, l'fich vodo, that the Gemara goes on to talk about somebody who was involved in learning, it's a humongous amount of people, but let's say whatever the number is, let's say theoretically you had a crowd that could have been sufficient, but the added presence is still a ribuy, it's still something that's going to increase the mitzvah. It's not that you're going to be redundant, you're never going to be redundant by coming. So you might think that your added presence, which is an enhancement, but it's not absolutely crucial, you might think that maybe that doesn't exempt you from Talmud Torah, so the chiddush is no, you're pater as well.
Would Baruch HaMadras Melech be part of that or something else?
So possibly, right? So we saw that was what some of the Rishonim said by Hechnasas Kala, right? That when it comes to Hechnasas Kala, so that was part of what we discussed the other day, that maybe it's an aspect of Kavod, and maybe it's a focus on the mitzvah, maybe it's some part of both. So here, if you say that there are certain mitzvos that by their nature demand a lot of people, and in the idealized form, that it's a hiddur to have a big crowd for a certain kind of mitzvah, you have to figure out which mitzvah is yes and which mitzvah is no, so maybe it's in that idea. And then again, so what's the chiddush? You might not have properly appreciated that extra function of Baruch Vam is enough to be mevatel Torah, so kamash malon that it is. Right?
Could also be, can I give a number? It could also be that there's an equation of kavod, how much kavod we give to the Torah, and how much kavod we give to the mace.
Like the Gemara goes on to say about mace who learn Torah.
Right.
Right.
So it could be that when we're balancing the two, we're not sure how to balance them. So the chiddush of the Gemara is to tell you what's more important.
So let's figure that out, though. So it means that you could have thought that because the kavod haTorah is equal to kavod haMace, is that how it comes out? So then,
more.
But why would it be different than all other mystical stuff?
We have a concept of Kavod HaTorah. We also see Tosas talks about king and versus Torah. Mm-hmm. Torah comes first. So
right.
Certainly, there's a tremendous amount of Kavod that's given to Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you'd think that would overpower Kavod HaMace.
Oh, so maybe, tell me if this is what you're getting at. Because you have to say a little bit more. Because we have this rule that you're not pater from other mitzvahs if you're involved in learning. So you still have to figure out why this is different. So tell me if this is what you're getting at. Maybe what you're saying is that, yeah, mitzvahs in general, for mitzvahs to be fulfilled, so then you're not going to be pater, you're going to have to stop learning in order to do the mitzvah. But this mitzvah is about kavod. Maybe that's the whole point, that when it's about kavod, So then your Kavod HaTorah should come before the other kibbutim, maybe Kavod Chasam Kala, maybe Kavod HaMeis, and therefore it's a chiddush to say that no, even a mitzvah that's about Kavod is going to give you grounds or maybe an obligation to be Mevatel Torah. By the way, once you start talking about Kavod, so you can also make another distinction. Right? And this is also something that some of the Achronim consider, which may also be helpful here. Maybe the idea of, if you think about it for a second, right, the idea that here we're surprised to say that you're not putter from other mitzvos when you're learning, because learning is keneged kulam, so it's valued as all the other mitzvos in the Torah. So that makes it surprising to say, okay, so why should I trade my learning for another mitzvah? So perhaps it could be that maybe we don't really trade Torah for other mitzvos if we are focused on the positive value of the mitzvah. That maybe when we interrupt learning to do another mitzvah, it's a situation where if we didn't do that mitzvah, there'd be a bittul mitzvah. There'd be some kind of tanya against us for not doing the other mitzvah. But if the mitzvah by its nature is an enhancement, and if we didn't do it, then it wouldn't necessarily constitute a bittul. It's an opportunity to enhance a mitzvah. So then you might say, okay, so then I don't have to take that opportunity. I can stick with my learning. And I only interrupt learning if it means that I be mevatel another mitzvah. All other mitzvahs, I'm putter from the other mitzvah, so the idea of bittul doesn't even come up. But when it comes to a mitzvah that's not really about bittul per se, but it's a mitzvah that's an opportunity to enhance something in a mitzvah context, so then maybe I would have thought, okay, so let's stick with learning. That's the biggest enhancements you can have. So especially if that's what's going on here, whether you want to focus on the fact that it's a mitzvah about kavod, or without even coming on to that, but it's a mitzvah where you're adding to something that without you maybe would still be fulfilled, it just wouldn't be perfect. So then maybe you could have thought that bittul Torah is not justified, it's not a worthwhile trade, and therefore the chiddushes should do that anyway. You should stop learning for this. Others suggest that the chiddush here, the reason the Gemara has to emphasize it, is that you could have thought that the mitzvah is purely the act of kfur. You could have thought that as long as the kfur is going to happen, then that's not going to justify my interrupting my learning or going to require me to close my shop, because the kfura will take place. If that's the case, if it's not going to take place, so then becomes a mitzvah situation, becomes very pressing for that reason. But if I know it's going to happen, so then maybe I would not have emphasized the idea of levayas ha-meis, the idea that not only should the kfura take place, but that I should accompany the meis, that there's a kavod that is also a part of the requirement. I would not necessarily have known that. So the Gemara has to emphasize that, no, not just the kfura, but the hotzas ha-meis, everything that goes along with that, in the midst of the Bikova Bayas Hanes, also justifies your interrupting your learning and your closing up your shop in order to do that. But, as much as that might be true, so in practice, again, we don't find that the Batei Medrash are all locked, and we don't find that the stores are all shuttered. So what happened? The Rishonim seem to mostly assume, the majority view in the Rishonim seems to be that this is a chiyuv and not a rishus. So how do we account for our current practice? So the truth is there is no one approach. The Sfarim try to offer many suggestions. Some say that maybe this is a unique situation where we don't follow Rov Rishonim. We follow the minority view in the Rishonim. We follow the view that it's a rishus and not a chiyuv, so somebody who feels he wants to be there is justified in closing his bar and going, but we're not going to lock the base medrash because it's not a chiyuv on everyone. So it's surprising we wouldn't follow Rov Rishonim. So is there possibly a way to read the Gemara that sounds like that a little bit? So what do you think? So if you look at the way the Gemara reads, it might possibly sound like that. Tana Rabbanan, Mevatlin Talmud Torah L'Hotzas Ameis, right, so it sounds like that's the din. You got to do it, right? But then what's the next line? Amru alav, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, shayim evatel Talmud Torah lotzas ameis v'lachnasas kala. Oh, here's the din. Everyone has to do it. By the way, Yehuda Bar Eloi once did this. They even say, they say about him, there's a rumor that Rabbi Eloi did this din. I also heard a rumor that he made Kiddush and kept kosher and kept Shabbos. Right, so why does the Gemara not say that? So theoretically, maybe you could read that as two contrasting statements. That it's a chiyuv, that's the first opinion. And the second opinion, which then would maybe be the halacha l'maisa, is no, it's not a chiyuv, but it's something that can be done. And we see that from the fact that Rabbi Eloi law did it. And that itself is a statement then that it's not necessarily a chiyuv, but it's a rishus. It's an option. Others have other suggestions. And those who note that maybe it's only when you actually see the mace moving that you have an obligation, you have to actually see this happening. Right? Who said like that? The Netziv says like this. You saw maybe the Chalkis Mechoke, who says it in the context of the Kali, you have to see the processional going. So then you have an obligation. Why would that be the case? Why would it be that you only have a chiyuv if you see it? Morty?
You're going to have to draw the line somewhere, because if it was going to be, if you're going to have to be Vata for everyone, then you would never have any learning done. I mean, there's always...
Okay, so maybe we'll have to define our viewpoint a little bit more narrowly, that we could have thought the whole city has to go. And that's what it sounds like. But in practice, and we'll say more about this, maybe that's not feasible. So we'll have to constrict it a little bit, and we'll say that the people who see it have an obligation. Might be.
Why do you not say those implements of Vata?
So that's where we're, well, we don't say it because we don't say it by Talmud Torah in general.
Why don't we say the Talmud Torah in general?
Right, so one of the reasons we mentioned, maybe it's because you wouldn't do any other mitzvahs otherwise, because Torah is infinite, and you combine that with the fact that one of the Kiyumim the Gemara says in learning is Lomod Amanas Lasos, so if you're going to Lomod, not Amanas Lasos, Amanas Lo Lasos, you're not going to do it because you're learning. So then that might for sure one of the basic...
You would say this when, I don't remember this, when there is someone else who can do that mitzvah.
So that's what we're trying to figure out. Maybe it's not the case. Maybe the contribution you make, even just by numbers, before getting onto your unique aspect and your unique connection, but maybe just by the numbers, it's not something that can be done by somebody else. I think that's the fish.
Well, the situation where you're in the basis of experience, like where you're learning, and someone comes to ask for the menu, they need a 10th after menu, and there's someone else that's up. So what do you do?
Ideally, the other person should count the menu.
So we do say those things.
If someone else can do it, right. If somebody else, if they have a choice between you and somebody else.
When it's pure, you know, quantitative.
Right. Here, apparently, one of the possible solutions might be that either you're a unique contribution, or even forgetting who you are specifically, but every additional person is a unique contribution. And that's something we can't dispense with.
Perhaps.
Or something that's valuable in itself, which justifies the Bittul Torah, depending on how you understand whether it's a Rishos or a Tiyuv. So what other suggestions do you find, Sammy?
We say, well, let's say that maybe we look at Kabbalah more from the negative sense and saying that we don't want to show that in Kabbalah itself. When it's just happening, you know what's going on, it might not be like Kabbalah, but when it's actually carrying it to the place, and then for you to not go there would be a tremendous lack of
Kabbalah. Oh, very good. So I think that's very much a viable interpretation, right? That it could be that we have then two components here, right? That we have, on the one hand, the component of the enhancement of Kavod HaMeis that comes when you participate. So we could say that that is a value, and it's enough of a value to justify Bittul Torah, not necessarily to require it, but at least to justify it, because that's an added value. But, like we said before, that there's two different things, that we'll be Mevatel Torah if we're going to cause a problem by not doing the mitzvah. There's going to be a Bittul mitzvah, so to speak. That's going to justify, it's going to require Bittul Torah. But if it's not a bittul, so then maybe it's a chiddush to say that a positive value should justify closing the gemara. So it could be that when you're able to come from somewhere else and join in and add to the kavod hamei, so that's a positive enhancement that justifies, but doesn't require bittul Torah. But if you see it going on, if you're close enough that it's passing by you, and therefore you are going to be missing something fundamental by not participating, and it's going to be a bizayon in some sense, so then you don't have the right to be mevazeh b'meis, and therefore that's going to require you to feel obligated to be mevatel Torah. And that, by the way, could come up in a couple of other contexts. So, for example, David ol Karliner, in this Tshuva Sheilas David, so he notes that whatever we say about how we reconcile this reality with what actually happens, but if you are a person who has a particular connection, if you're a family member or a close friend, somebody who it'll be noted that you're not there because of the, you're in the neighborhood and you're not coming and you have an obvious connection, so then that's a bizayin in the mix. So again, if that's what's the consideration, so then it would seem that such an individual is obligated to come, even if the average person doesn't necessarily have a chiyuv. And along similar lines, so we find also the main obligation that the Shulchan Aruch says with the minimal obligation of the Bayis Hameis is Dalar Amos. Right? Like we find that also by Hachnasas Orchim and the Chiyuv Levayim associated with that. That's also a whole discussion. But at least Dalar Amos, and apparently if you can do more, so then again, so that's a Chiyuv. So that's a fulfillment. So there is a Tshuva, the Minchas Elazar. Chelak Aleph and Simin Chavav, the Minchas Elazar notes that we have a statement in the Gemara Masachas Brachos. The Gemara says that Kol HaRoa Es HaMeis Ve'eino Malavehu is in violation of Loeg LaRosh Cheref Oseg. The Pasuk in Mishlei, which we normally incorporate in a different context, where the Gemara says that if you do mitzvos in front of the meis, so the Gemara quotes that pasuk to say it's like you're making fun of the meis because the meis can't do mitzvos and you can. So that's why you tuck in your tzitzis by the cemetery. You don't want to flaunt mitzvos in front of the meis. So the Gemara also quotes that pasuk to say that if you don't escort the meis, so then you are loig larash teref oseyu. That's a bizayon to the meis. So says the Minchas Elazar. So it depends what we're talking about. If it's passing by you, you don't go at least Dalar Amos, you don't make some nominal show of kavod, so then that becomes an act of bizayon. That's basically saying you're making fun of the mace. You're saying you're not interested. It's moving, and you're going to go about your business. And the mace can't go about its business, but you can, and you're just going to go about your day and ignore what's happening. That's a bizayon. But to do more, so then that's a kiyum, and that's if that's possible. So that's what we'll recommend. There is a sefer called Chinuch V'Chisda here on Masechet Ksuvos, which writes that, as others do, that you know, we clearly have a different communal structure than they had in mind of the Gemara, where you had, say, one unified community that could be expected to respond to everything that happened within the community, whether it is the Havayas Hameis or the Hachnasas Kala. So clearly that's a part of it. But combined with that, so the Chinuch V'Chisda writes that because of the way it's set up, you don't have just one shtetl where everyone can just close up and go. But if you're going to say everyone in New York City has to do Levayas Hameis, so it's going to be that if there's a Kfura in Queens, you're going to have a procession of everybody going from Manhattan to Queens through all the non-Jewish neighborhoods, and it's going to look very strange. He thinks that's also a part of the current reality that we have that makes it not so shaykh to fully realize what the Gemara has, even if Maker Hadin, that would have been the ideal. Hi.
We don't normally care about what looks strange to other people.
Well, part of it here, the part of it is how, but part of the whole idea is a showing of kavod, and if it's going to be a laughable show of kavod, so to speak. I don't know how heavy this story really is. It's also interesting to note that they asked Moshe Feinstein about this once, Shlomo Zalman, Sefer Halicha Shlomo. So he prefers the idea that some of the Achronim have also, that you're only mevatel this din if you know exactly when it's happening, if you know exactly when the mace is being moved, or parallel, if you know exactly when the kala is being escorted. So then, if you don't participate, that's a problem. But usually you don't know, because nothing is so prompt, nothing is so precise, so the fact that we don't know exactly, that's what helps. And Shlomo Zalman says it's true by the weddings also, so no matter how yakisha the wedding is, it's not going to be so precise, you're going to know exactly when the kala's procession was happening. So therefore, you're not obligated the same way, but it's, that feels a little bit dochek. It's kind of point, because basically the tension he was dealing with is that it seems like from our Gemara, like we're really in trouble. It seems like from our Gemara, like we really have a chiyuv more than we're doing, and therefore we have to find a way to try to be malamit zchus on Klal Yisrael. So he records there that they asked for Moshe Feinstein this, And he said, how do you explain how nowadays we don't follow the din of the Gemara and the Rav Rishonim that we're all mechuyev to go? So he thought about it and he said he doesn't really have an answer. He thinks that he doesn't really have a good limud zchus for Kol Yisrael, how it is that we kind of fall short as far as these obligations are concerned. Rav Yashiv, in his Haros Hirang Subis, Rav Yashiv assumes that we don't have one answer, we have many answers. That maybe Bitsira, for all these points, you put them all together, take all the different svaras that the different svaras mentioned, you put them together, so there's a limud zchus. That the fact that we don't have the same communal structure, the fact that it may not be feasible, the fact that we don't actually know exactly when the mace is being moved, we don't actually see it, you put all those things together, so then it adds up to a limud zchus. And of course, there is a discussion mentioned the other day, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Tzitz Eliezer has a truth about this, that maybe now that we have a standing Chevra Kadisha that acts on behalf of the community as a whole, and that's something the Rishonim allude to also. The problem is, though, that again would only really address the Kfura component. In America, really not even that, in Eretz Yisrael, as we mentioned, is very much a part of the Kfura component. But Kfura is not the whole mitzvah, as we're seeing that. Levayis HaMeis is really the mitzvah, so even if you have the Chevra, it's going to take care of the Kfura. It's hard to see why that should really exempt us from the mitzvah of Levayis HaMeis. And again, maybe you have to make some combinations for taking all these different points together and assuming that there is the idea of a chavzchus through that. So we're going to run out of time in a few minutes, so just to mention a couple of quick halacha maisa points before going back to the Gemara here. So it's also important to know, again, therefore, that when it's possible to be at the Levaya and to escort at least Dal Ramos, so that is an ideal, and to go more than that is better. And it's also important to know that during that time, someone's not allowed to converse about anything else. That's also a part of the Kavod HaMeis. Even Divrei Torah, it's what the Gemara says in the beginning of the Seifas Brachos. This is a widely neglected halacha in both senses of the word, that in terms of all kinds of conversation, but the Gemara says not only can you not talk about sports, but even to talk about the Divrei Torah, it's a little bit of a question of the Gersh of the Gemara. Is the Gemara in the first part or in the third part? But it comes out that really anything extraneous that's not the Kavod HaMeis is inappropriate to be talking about while during the mitzvah of Levayis HaMeis. And the Shulchan Aruch also brings that if you can't follow the mace, at the least you have to stand up for the mace. If the mace passes by where you are, you should stand up for it. The Gesher HaChayim and others note that, let's say you have an apartment and the procession goes outside your window, so one should stand up for the procession. One of the later poskim has a tshuva about the minhag somebody had who lived in an apartment where, I guess, there were a lot of funeral processions that went by his window. So he would get up within his apartment and walk Dal Ramos within his apartment and follow the mace. That is probably a chumrah, but the idea that there has to be a gesture of kavod is a crucial point that seems to come out, even if you're not actually attending the levaya. And the idea of hesped, hi?
Or that
help
if no one like saw you in your apartment.
So you yourself are showing cover. That's a gesture for
it's
yourself.
Covered even if it's not covered.
Right, it's covered that you are displaying for you. Clearly it's not on the same madriga, but it's an aspect of it. And the Hespedim, which was this past week's Parsha, right, the first recorded Hesped in Jewish history. So some of the Rishonim say that's the marker for the Chi of Hesped, this past week's Parsha is Ayasara. So the Hesped has got other components to it. The Rav understood it was a Kiyam in the Bechia. But it's certainly also a part of Kavod HaMeis. And the parallels we saw the other day, that just like Hachnasas Kala, there are various versions. So on the one hand, the Gemara says Ketzad Meraktim, but if somebody comes and gives a Dvar Torah, so the postman right back could also be a Kiyum of Simchas Chasim Kala. So too, if somebody comes to Levaya and gives a Hesped, so that is a very visible act of Kavod HaMeis, which sometimes could stand in for the Levaya. So it's brought. For example, the Satmar Rav had a policy that presumably he had to go to many levayas for his large kehila. So if he was speaking at a levaya, so he would ask that he should speak last, because that way he doesn't have time to be there for the whole thing. But if he spoke last, then he could give a hasbid, and then also be malava the mace at the end of the proceedings. But if it wasn't possible for him to speak last, could only speak in the middle, so then he would have a practice, he would only come for that, and that would be enough to express the Kavod HaMeis through the process of the Hesped. So with all that, right, so here we have this tremendous chumrah that's placed on Kavod HaNeis, and yet our Gemara tells us that with all that, it still loses to Hachnasas Kavod. If you have to choose between, if you have a conflict, if you have a clash between Hachnasas Kavod and Havayas HaNeis, so here our Gemara tells us that we give the priority to the Kala. Right, so the Gemara here tells us from before this passage, Tan Rabbanim, Avir and Esameis, Bufnei HaKala, Vzeb Vzeb, Bufnei Melech Yisrael, so we'll come back to that in a second. But the idea of giving priority to the Kala, so now that brings us back to the question we started to ask yesterday. So what's being reflected here? What is this fulfillment of? What are we trying to accomplish by showing this priority to the Kala? What's that going to do for us? Hi? Some of the Rishonim say that to answer why one gets priority over the other, which is a good important point. But before we get to that, so the first question, what are we accomplishing in the first place? Right? We're accomplishing that we're being mechavni the kala. But what is that for? What's the mitzvah of kavod hakala about? So it could be that maybe this is just a detail in simchas chasam kala. Right, that since Simchas Chasam HaKala is its own mitzvah, as we've seen, so maybe the more you show honor to the couple, or at least the Kala, so maybe that's a fulfillment in Simcha. It makes them happy to be shown this kind of honor. So that could be a question we could ask, right? That is this an independent concept of Kavod? There is a mitzvah of Kavod for the Kala, separate from the concept of Simchas Chasam HaKala? Or is this a detail of Simchas Chasam HaKala? Right, that since Simchas Chasam HaKala exists, if you show Kavod, that will also make them happy. Or we could say in between. Right? We could say a third possibility. And we could just flip the correlation. And we could say that really, the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam HaKala is really about Kavod. Right? Why is that? Because if you say like the approach that the whole point is we want to make the chassid be more aware of his obligations and more confident in his decision, and that's all the Masechus Kesuvos theme in general. So the more we're mechabed the kala, the more the whole line from Ketzer Merakdim Ufnei HaKala Kala Nava Chasuda is all going to contribute to that. So therefore, maybe the whole mitzvah of Simchas Chasam HaKala is about endearing the chassan to the kala, and therefore showing her as much honor as possible. So what do you think? Is this an independent fear, or is this a part of the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam HaKala? So some want to suggest that this is maybe a machlokas you're showing them on a couple of levels. One is that maybe it's a machlokas between Tosfos over here and Shitim Betzos, for example, because Tosfos over here asked the question, right? The Gemara tells the story about Agrippus. And the Gemara basically says that Agrippus, the king, he showed kavod to Akala, right? That's the next line in the Gemara. So Amru alav Agrippus hamelech she'avar mufnei hakala, v'shabchu chachamim. So the chachamim were happy, they praised him. So shabchu miklal deshaper of it. So if they praised him, apparently he did the right thing. Aye, but is it really the right thing that he should respect the kala that way? V'ha amar Ravashi, kvodo kvodo machol melech shemachol kvodo ein kvodo machol damar mar somtes malecha melech shetein maso alecha. Right? Don't we say that a king is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod? So if he's really the priority here, so it's not right for him to be mochel. So the Gemara answer is that parashas drachim havoi, that essentially there was a cross in the road, so it wasn't obvious that he was ceding to her. It could have just looked like he was taking his own path, and therefore it wasn't any way a diminution of his own kavod. So it sounds like the bottom line is what? That the king is not allowed to be mechabed the kala at his own expense. So Tosfos, somebody pointed out this Tosfos before, right? Tosfos parashas drachim havoi. Right, so Tosfos asks that there is a Gemara in Sota, which suggests the king can be mochel his kavod for kavod haTorah. So the Tosfos concludes, no, it's not the same. The hasa mitzvah hu sheyesh lamelech lachlo kavod haTorah hachashuva mimenu. There it is, a obligation on the king that he has to show more covet. Aryeh mentions before, right? He has to show more covet to the Torah than to himself. So that's appropriate. Valhacha leka mitzvah dekvodo adif mikvod hakal. So here there's no such mitzvah because his kavod ranks higher than the kavod of the kal. So some of the achronim ask, what do you mean he has no mitzvah of kavod hakal? Isn't there a mitzvah of simchas vasur kal? And doesn't that apply to the king also? Right, why is the king pater from the mitzvah of simchas vasur and kal? What do you think to that question? Avi?
Does it require the king to remove his kavod being a samaritan?
I mean, maybe he could choose another path. But maybe he still...
In the case where he was like...
It's interesting, you know, the Shita Mikubetzes actually quotes an opinion which seems more in line with that, that it was possible for him to accomplish both. That basically it sounds like from what they're saying, which is quite different than Tosfos, that he was Mechuyev, but it was not going to be a bizayin of her to take this path. So therefore, the same kind of way it wasn't designed to him, it wasn't designed to her either, so therefore he was kind of able to accomplish both. What some want to suggest is that that reflects a machlokas between Tosfos and the Shita, for example, that Tosfos' opinion is that this chi of kavod doesn't apply to him, while the other Rishonim might be saying that it does apply, it was something that was compatible. So perhaps that's the question. Is the kavod of the kala part of simchas chasan kala, or is it a separate chiyuv of kavod? If it's a separate chiyuv of kavod, so she ranks lower than him. But if it's a part of simchas chasan kala, so then that should apply to the king also, and then we have to have a different answer to Tosfos' question. This could perhaps also be relevant, as some point out, to machlokas the Rambam and the Ramban. What's the machlokas the Rambam and the Ramban about? What does the Rambam say regarding this Gemara, Avi?
He says that when kavod isn't involved, that mace goes first.
Right. That essentially our Gemara could be read as, let's say, the Ramban reads it, right, as saying that the kala always wins. It has a clash between the mace and the kala, so the kala comes first. But the Rambam in Hilchos Avil, in Perek Yudal and Halacha Ches, the Rambam is careful to say that, no, it's not true. That if you had to choose between the two mitzvos, then kavod up, or then the needs of a mace, let's put it that way, the tzorach and a mace are going to take priority. It's only this one din of Kedima which gives priority to the kala. Right, so the Lecha Mishnah talks about this, and the Bach talks about this, and that's where Sammy's point was, you started before. Right, how do they explain the difference, Sammy, you were saying before? So that maybe when it comes to kavod specifically, so we'll say that kavod achayim, as the Gemara has another context, that kavod achayim, the kavod achaya, is more important than the kavod of the mitz, than the kavod of the shah. So if you have two mitzvos of kavod up against each other, okay, so then kavod will go to the living person before the deceased person. And Rav Shechter often points out that people think that kavod ames is a new concept that was invented, that when a person is alive, you can treat them as terribly as you want, and you can be horrible to them. And then as soon as they die, kavod ames kicks in, and all of a sudden you have to be nice to them. And the point is, it's the opposite, that there is a din of kavod agrios, you have to be respectful to people all the time. And the chiddush is that even when they're no longer alive, to realize it, then you still have to be mechabed them as an extension of them. So, but it comes out that kavod achayim is much more than kavod ames. It's a chiddush that kavod achayim extends to kavod ames. So, if that's the case, then all right, if you have to, a din of kavod, so kavod is going to come to the kala first. So perhaps once again you find that question expressing itself: is this a din in kavod, or is this all an expression? Is this all an expression of the broader mitzvah of simchas chasan and kala, and then maybe that takes its own priority regardless of whether it's a reflection of kavod or not.
What else is Ramban reading? He also makes the same distinction that only hafnasas on the chuppah is what is
I mean, so therefore, it's also hard to say, because the truth is, the Ramban also invokes elsewhere, he also invokes the Kavod D'Chaim idea. So you have to say that it's about Kavod, but that maybe the Kavod specifically is the fulfillment of the Simchas Masim Kala. So that there is an aspect of the Simchas Masim Kala that is through Kavod, and that's where you find it specifically. The Hachnasas Kala, which is the reflection of the Kavod HaKala, is what this din is focused on.
So, in terms of the other
needs, you know, that all the needs that are contributing to the Kavod. So. Okay, so we're actually over time, so maybe we'll go on to a new sugya tomorrow, just to quickly review what we spoke about, and we'll try to understand a little bit. So we saw that we have a comparison in the Gemara between Kavod HaMeis, between Hotzos HaMeis and Hachnasas Kala, and then a contrasting that as much as they're compared, Kala is given a greater priority. And we talked a little bit about what the nature of Kavod HaMeis is, Hotzos HaMeis. We talked about the fact that the Gemara says in Mevatel Torah, that the question is, first of all, what's the Chiddush? If we say that Mevatel Torah for all mitzvot, so one possible Chiddush is that it's not Efshul Kayim Shnehem, because everyone who adds a greater number, and that's also a Kiyum. So maybe the Gemara is telling you that the Kiyum is also worth closing the Gemara. And the other possibility is that you might have thought that it's only the Gvura that is the mitzvah, so the Gemara has to tell you that it's the Levayas HaMeis that's also the mitzvah. And then we talked about the fact that the Rishonim have the Machlokas, whether it's a Chiyuv or a Rishus, and the majority seem to say it's a Chiyuv, but in practice we seem to treat it like a Rishus, so we talked about various suggestions why that is. Maybe we actually pass them like the minority here, maybe the Gemara kind of supports that, maybe the idea is that it's only a Chiyuv for people who actually see it. We talked about why that was, whether it means it's a narrowing of the circle of people who are a part of the mitzvah, or whether it means that it would be an act of Bizayin if you don't do it, and we talked about how that could also explain that maybe we're about Torah normally only for things that would be a bittul if we don't do it, but not for a kiyumim, and maybe that's again the whole chiddush here, or maybe it creates a voluntary level and a obligatory level. So we talked also about the distinction between people who are close to the mace, that if they didn't come it would be a mizayin, as the Sheilas David talked about, and we talked also about the Minchas Alazus chiluk, about when the Gemara says if you're not malapis a mace and you see him, so you're over on Lovi Larash, and that distinction between the basic Dalet Amos and going beyond that. We talked about other possible solutions. The question of, you have to know exactly what is happening. Does it depend on the structure of the community being different? Is it because we have a Chevra Kadisha to rely on? And what's a little bit unsatisfactory about that answer? We mentioned that Ramosha Feinstein felt that he didn't really have a good answer to this question. Well, Yasha felt it has to be a combination of all these answers. We talked a little bit about the obligation of standing if you're not actually following, about the prohibition of conversation, even in Torah matters during the Levaya. Talk a little bit about the concept of Hesped, how Hesped could also parallel what we find about giving Divrei Torah at the wedding as a kiyum in Simchas Masim Kala. And then we talked about taking all that in context, so what does it mean to compare the two? And the Gemara is saying that the Kala gets a priority, so apparently that's a din in Kavod for her. So the question is, what does that mean? Does that mean, so basically three possibilities, an independent din of Kavod for the Kala, or that this is a detail in Simchas Chasam Kala, that you make the couple happy by being mechabed them, or maybe it's something from the other direction, that the whole din of Simchas Chasam Kala is itself about Kavod, is about endearing the wife to the husband, and therefore it's all about showing deference and showing esteem, however that plays out. And we noted that here the Gemara says that a king is not allowed to be mochel to the Kala. So Tosfos asks, but we find that for Torah he is mochel. So Tosfos says, yeah, that's because Torah he has to respect, but Kala he outranks. And we discussed how some suggest that maybe the question is, are we saying that there's an independent chiyuv of kavod for the Kala, in which case he outranks her? Or are we saying that it's a detail of the mitzvah of Simchas Masim Kala, in which case theoretically he should be obligated also, and then you have to give other answers like other Rishonim do. And we talked also about the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, about whether this is a klal in general in terms of how you treat the Kala, or is it specific for the concept of kavod that's its own independent din, and we know that the Rambam says that it's only the din of the kedima, otherwise all other tzrachim are prioritized to the mace. And we talked about how Nosei Kalim suggest that the factor of Kavod HaMeis is secondary to Kavod HaChaim, is probably why that would dictate that if it's about Kavod, then that's going to be the rule. And we noted again, that the idea that really Kavod HaChaim is the main Kavod, and the Kavod HaMeis is an extension of that, and that the priority should really be to be treating people right when they're alive, and the chiddush is so much so that we even have kavod even when they're not able to perceive what's happening. Okay, so we're over time, so we'll say a few more words tomorrow, but again, we should hope that the schus of the limit of the sugya should be a kavod for the mesim of today, and should be a schus for Klal Yisrael, and we should know no more tragedies that we experience today.